Chapter 28. I sort of shambled up one floor and down a wing to the chateau's infirmary, escorted there by a guard who was being very careful not to limp on a wounded leg. The skinwalker had smacked my bean against hardwood and knocked something loose. I felt fairly confident that if I jumped up and down and wiggled my head, my brain would slosh squishily around the inside of my skull. Not that I was going to be doing any of those things. Walking was hard enough. In the infirmary, I found a white-coated young woman tending to the wounded. She moved with the brisk, professional manner of a doctor and was just finishing seeing to Justine's injuries. The young woman was laid out on a bed, her midsection swathed in bandages, her eyes glazed with a distant, peaceful expression of someone on good drugs. Anastasia sat on the bed next to Justine's, her back straight, her expression calm. Her right arm was bound up close against her body in a black cloth sling. She came to her feet as I entered the room. She looked a little pale and shaky, but she stood without leaning on her slender wooden staff. "We're leaving now?" "Yeah," I said. I moved to her side to support her. "You okay to walk?" She leaned her staff toward me, stopping me from coming any closer, though she smiled slightly as she did. "I'll bloody well walk out of here," she said. And she said it in an atrocious Scottish accent. I lifted both eyebrows at her in shock. "You told me you fell asleep during Highlander." Her dark eyes sparkled. I always say that when I find myself at a vintage movie showing at a drive-in theater while in the company of a man 2 centuries younger than me. "And not because you didn't want to hurt my feelings with your professional opinion of the swordsmanship on display?" "Young men can be so delicate," she said, her dimples making a brief appearance. "We should get you to a hospital," I said, nodding at her sling. She shook her head. "The brake is set back in place already. From here, all one can do is wear a sling and wait for it to stop hurting so badly." I grimaced. "I've got some meds at my place." She smiled again, but this time I could see how much she was straining to keep up appearances. "That would be lovely." "Harry?" said a soft voice. I turned to face the wounded Justine, who looked at me with drowsy eyes. I turned to the bed and bent down to smile at her. "Hey there."
"We heard that thing talking," she said. All the consonants in her words had blurred, rounded edges. "We heard it talking to you and Lara."
I glanced up at Anastasia, who gave me a short nod of her head. "Yeah," I said to Justine. I desperately did not want her to say anything she ought not be saying. "I'll take care of it." Justine smiled at me, though she looked like she could hardly keep her eyes open.
"I know you will. He loves you, you know."
I did not look up at Anastasia. Yeah. Justine took my hand in one of hers, her eyes reaching for mine.
"He always worried that he'd never be able to talk to you. That the world he came from was so different. That he wouldn't know enough about being human to relate. That he wouldn't know about being a
brass-plated pain in my ass," I said. "He knows that plenty well." I avoided her eyes. The last thing I needed was to endure another soul gaze now. "Justine, you need to rest. I'll dig him up. Don't worry." She smiled again, and her eyes closed all the way.
"You're like family to me, Harry. You always care."
I bowed my head, embarrassed, and settled Justine's hands back on the bed, then tugged the thin hospital blankets up over her. Anastasia watched me with thoughtful eyes as I did.